Okay, welcome back everyone to the Windows 8 Deployment Jumpstart. My name's Ben Hunter and with me is...
Michael Nystrom, or Mike for short.
Okay, we're going to jump now into Module 2. This is all about creating a Windows 8.1 reference image. So we've got two main topics we're going to look at here. We're just going to give you at first an overview of image engineering, and then we're just going to dive into a whole bunch of demos and show you how to actually create the reference image that's going to work for you from the best experience from myself and from Mike.
Yep.
Let's go for it, Mike.
So the image engineering process, we need to make really sure that the image we create is very solid, works, it needs to be automated. Yeah. We've seen it a bit too much of the let's create it manually, and because I'm never going to do it again, it doesn't really work that way. So it needs to be automated. Another issue we have is the number of images. Back in the old days, it was there's an image for that, and an image for that, and an image for that. You'll have 10, 15, 25, 40 images. That's great in the beginning, but after a while, that's going to take hours to maintain. So
it's pretty hard to manage, isn't it? I know I've been to customers that have had 120 images for different types of uses in the company, for different types of hardware, for x86, for x64, for everything. Yeah. And this is a nightmare to maintain and have any consistency.
And when they start deploying the first generation and everything is done, it's going back and patch them and do it again. So that's a bad thing. And we need to use a virtual machine.
Yes.
And this is something that people ask me why. And the most important thing here is that a virtual machine makes the image very generic. Generic means it doesn't have any relationship with the hardware, no fancy drivers, no nothing. So you could also take a very old computer, but that's a bad thing because then it takes a long time.
It takes a long time. And even with old computers, I've seen where drivers sneak into the image. You know, and then later on, you go and try and load a driver up for something, and it clashes with a driver that's already on there. So use a virtual machine. It makes life much easier as well when you're doing your image engineering process.
Yeah, and you can snapshot, you can go back, go forward. And another thing, even if you don't have a driver issue, you can have an application issue. Just because you have that particular hardware, it's going to come along with some strange application for the mouse or something that is hard to get rid of afterwards. So use a virtual machine.
Yeah, the virtual machine helps on that angle. Yeah. I know when I'm doing image engineering, I don't get it right first time. I've been doing this for a long time and I've got fairly good at image engineering, but you know, you're going to make mistakes. You're going to want to try things out. So with virtual machines, you can have a snapshot. You can take that snapshot, do some work, find out you've got a problem, roll back. Do it again, roll back, do it again, until you get things just right. So it's all about that process. And as you, and working with virtual machines combined with the image automation process, you can really build a nice, consistent image that's easily repeatable.
It's almost like cheating here, but it's a good way of cheating. It saves time, which is important.
Well, I'm lazy. I don't know about you, but the reason I love deployment, I've been doing deployment for so long, is I consider myself inherently lazy. I like to automate everything. I don't like doing it twice. That's why this 120 images that I saw from one of my customers, you know, to me, it sounds awful having to do the same thing over and over and over again. Let PowerShell or VBScript or MDT do the automation for you.
Absolutely. I couldn't agree more.
You're lazy as well?
Yeah, I am. Very lazy.
Okay, so let's talk about how we create the image.
Okay.
So we have MDT. Why do we want to use MDT?
I use MDT because it's a standard. It's a standard application. I can download it. It has been used for many years.
Yeah.
So other people know this. There's a huge community around it. It's easy to delegate. This is something that is really good. You, being the image engineering guy, you can build your image and then you hand it over to me. There's no way I'm going to give you administrative privilege to my system.
Yeah.
So it's easy to delegate it. But it also have a lot of features inside. One is the suspend feature. That means that even if it's great to automate every application, right? There's one app you can't automate. Well, we could add a suspend step. the process will run through until the suspend step, and then it suspends.
Yeah.
So now you can manually install the application and resume the task sequence. The other one is the copy profile. Really great thing. Means that all the settings that will be done during the installation could then be copied as a default profile for the new user that logs onto the machine. So there's a lot of things we can do using MDT, which is hard to do either manually or using others.
What about Config Manager? Why don't I, if I've got Config Manager, I've got my infrastructure, all my packages are in there already, why shouldn't I use Config Manager to build my reference image?
Now, that's a hard question, because in some cases, it does make sense to use Configuration Manager. But in most cases, Config Manager does the installation as the system. Therefore, we don't have an administrative profile. Mm. And the other thing is that even if it works in Configuration Manager, it takes a lot of time to create all this. It's hard to interact in the middle of the sequence. So if you have anything that breaks, you need to redo everything from the beginning. You don't have a suspend step. So I prefer to use Light Touch as the image creation. It also means that the image I create will be very generic. Yeah. It works in Configuration Manager. It also works in Light Touch. It also works in Virtual Machine Manager. So the image we create is very, very universal and can be used in all variations of deployment solutions.
Yeah, one of the things I've seen is what you mentioned earlier on was there's usually a group of administrators that own Configuration Manager. Yep. Configuration Manager is something that's live on the network. Mm-hmm. They don't want you playing with things. They don't want you playing with task sequences. They don't want you editing packages to get it just right for your master image. So it's good to keep that administrative separation. The other one I think you mentioned before is when you make settings to the administrator profile, which is what we'll do in MDT. Maybe we are doing the suspend step that you mentioned, and then we edit some settings, maybe manually change something on the taskbar or edit the start screen. Those settings are not going to be saved. It doesn't grab the administrator profile.
Correct.
We're running in the context of the system with Config Manager, so you can't make those changes. So strong recommendation is use MDT, and we'll show you why in some demos in a moment.
Yep.
So that's great. Let's quickly look at the system requirements for MDT.
Yeah, they are pretty easy. You need a supported operating system. You can basically run MDT on anything. So I have, for instance, my laptop, which is my portable laptop. I use that as a reference image creation factory when I come to a customer that doesn't have any. If you want to build your own solution that is a permanent solution, well, Windows Server 2008 R2 and up and Windows 7 and above will work as both a server and a client, because it's basically a file share.
Because all we need is the ADK installed, don't we? And a file share, which has got a bunch of scripts and things in it.
Yep.
So really, it's a very, very simple, you need a file share.
Yeah.
You need the ADK installed, that's it.
If you built one and you want to transfer this, this is a common request. I built one, it's perfect. I want to have this on this customer's site. How do I move it? Well, it's really advanced. You need to copy the folder and share the folder, and then you're pretty much done. Oh, so
that's, I guess that's what you do in your job. I know with me as a consultant going out to customers, I take my deployment share, which has been worked on over many customers, and I just grab that deployment share, go to the next customer. That's my starting point.
Yep.
Then I start customizing it for my next customer. And it works really well, and it's so simple, just to share.
If you do that, do remember that keys belongs to the original customer.
So and source files.
Yeah, source files. So you might need to remove small components, but the configuration is basically a file share and easy to move.
I know when I come to a customer and I'm immediately building an image, usually I'm building the image on their server within maybe half an hour of arriving, maybe an hour if I have to install the ADK and play around with the server and copy some files around, but literally building an image, I'll say, have a server ready for me and a virtual machine, and we'll be building very quickly.
Yeah.
So we'll show you some of that stuff. So let's have a quick look at the image engineering process.
Yes. So what we do is that we first start with creating a deployment share. That's easy.
Which we showed you in module one with Mike and Johan.
Yep. And then we add the operating system, which is importing. We add applications But we only add the application that is supposed to go into the reference image. Not all applications are suitable, and not all applications really work
so
well.
So should I use the same deployment share for creating my image as I use for deploying a light touch image?
I don't do that, and many deployment geeks like I don't do that, because the settings we have, the rules that applies is so different.
Yeah.
And it might be that I'm using this computer to create the reference image, and I use these computers to deploy it. Yeah. So the separation goes here too. So even if we use the same computer, I do have two separate shares, absolutely.
Yeah, and that's like Configuration Manager is your operational system. So you have your operational MDT, which is deploying to users. You don't want to mess with that.
Exactly.
But your lab for building images is fine.
Yeah.
So, yeah, okay.
So that's true. And then we continue adding the other components, and we create the task sequence.
Yeah.
And when we created the task sequence, we configure the deployment share so we have a boot image. There's just one small exception. You see that says add drivers for Windows to go if needed. Hmm. Normally, we never add any drivers at all, right?
Yep.
The image should be as driver, driverless as possible. However, if the image is supposed to be used for Windows to go and you don't use Configuration Manager to create that, then you need to add drivers to it. But that's the
only exception.
Yeah,
more. So we put drivers on when we deploy. We don't put drivers on in the image.
No.
It's about keeping it clean.
Yes, exactly. We configure the deployment share. We configure rules. There's a file called custom-settings.ini. Really cool file. It's a text file that contains all the rules that says, well, show this wizard, don't show this page, show this page, don't show this page, set the language, do all kinds of things. You could either answer all these questions in the wizard, but most likely when you create a reference image, it's going to be the same settings over and over. Therefore, we can define all these settings from the beginning, so we don't need to answer all the questions. That also means that the process of actually creating the reference image is going to be very few questions like, that reference image, okay. And that's pretty easy to instruct another technician to do that. Fire up a VM, press OK, select image, press OK. I need to type it down so I can't.
Well, you have total control here. You know what it's like? You have control. You know what you're going to get. If later on, this is one of my favorite things here, is if later on we swap the version of Office, for example, I just go in, I add the applications in for Office. I've got the app. So then I just swap that out of my task sequence in, throw the new version of Office, hit go again on my fully automated, perhaps with a little suspend for doing the start screen customization or something like that. And I've got my image. I know it's the same that I had before, so I don't have to do all this testing. No. It's the same. If I did it manually, you never know. I don't know what you used to do, but back in the days when I used Ghost, when I was doing NT351, I think I was using Ghost, we used to have a manual list of things you would do that was probably 10 pages long, nice Word document.
And you go through the list and you check, and it's like, did I do that? I think I did it. I didn't do that. I did something else. Oh, it's going to be fine. I'm going to add this, then I'm going to add this.
It was never consistent.
No. And the problem is with that process, because this is something, I ask my technicians, so you created a reference image. Yeah. And it's exactly the same as last time. Yeah. So it's ready for production. Yeah, sort of. What do you mean sort of? Well, we need to test it because we're not really sure. Okay, so it took you like 2 days to create everything, and now we need to spend a week testing it?
Well, you know what used to happen? So people to get around this issue was they would fire up their image, drop it on a machine, then they would uninstall Office, then they would put another Office back on, and then they would sysprep it again.
Yeah.
Now, this also can lead to problems. This may sound good, but you really don't want to keep sysprepping your machine over and over. You want this automated process.
Yeah, even if it's supported nowadays, because it is, when the weird thing starts to happen down the road and you try to search for that and you're the only one that has this issue, then you realize there's no point of calling any kind of support because nobody ever heard of this issue. And that means that image is toasted and needs to be rebuilt.
And let's say you're deploying this image to thousands of machines. The last thing you want to do is be unsure or nervous about the image, because if it goes to thousands, you're going to have the problems on thousands, and you are probably going to have to fix it. So you might get blamed as well, and you don't want that. So.
That's bad. We don't want that.
Okay. So should we demo?
Absolutely. I think we should demo.
Okay.
So on my screen.
Yep, there we go.
You can see that, right? We have two deployment shares. One is called the MDT Build Lab, and the other one is called MDT Production. This could be, as I have it, on the same machine, but it could also be two total different machines, environments.
But you have two separate shares, and the keyword being shares, it's just two separate folder structures behind. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
I also added a bunch of applications, and even if you don't need to create folders, I strongly recommend you to create folders.
And conventions. Naming conventions are critical here, and keep it tidy.
So in this case, you can see we do have a naming convention. All the applications we're supposed to install is called the install dash something. It's very common to see people that haven't done this before. You can see application, test, demo, test 2, and that's fine when you play with it. Six months later, you have no idea what test 2 is, so you need to open every application and try to figure out what they are.
Do it from the start. It actually, I don't know if it's what you're like, but to me, it's satisfying to see everything nice and tidy. I love that. Maybe I'm a little bit pedantic about that, but that's what I like.
No, the thing is that I'm, as a person, is very relaxed, and you know, I'm not that organized.
Not as pedantic.
Exactly. No. But when it comes to OS deployment, I am.
Yeah.
I've done it too many years. I've seen too many issues, and I don't like it.
So you have the scars.
Yeah, I do. too many of them. And if you open up, this is Silverlight. You can see the details, and we're running the silent command, so you need to find the silent command for each of these applications. That's not really hard. It's about searching for it. If they do need to reboot, you check the reboot the computer after installing this application. After the install, it will automatically reboot. Very nice. We have, for instance, in this case, I added the C++.
So why have you added these?
Yeah, you can see, first of all, I added all of them, both the 32 and the 64-bit. It's two things you really need to have in an image. For the applications that the user are using, most likely they are written in .NET Framework. Therefore, we need .NET Framework.
Yep.
We need .NET Framework 2, 3, 3, 5, 4, 4, 5 to be sure that all these applications works. But a lot of drivers and a lot of hardware-related applications are written in C++. Therefore, we need the runtimes for them. And it's kind of hard to figure out exactly what ones you really need, so we add them all. And people go like, oh, well, then you need to patch them. Not a problem. We're going to run Windows Update as a part of the process, so they will be up to date.
So when you look at things like what goes in the image, What's the kind of thought? You've got, you know, the way I see it, you have a thin image, which is just Windows, nothing else.
It doesn't work great, but you can do that. No, so it's a hybrid often, right? So we add this, and you can see I added Office.
Yes.
Yeah, and the reason I add Office is that it takes time to install Office. And since everybody that uses this image is going to use Office, there's no point of adding Office, which takes time in the end. We add all the applications that is easy to maintain, meaning Microsoft application that relies on Windows Update is a no-brainer, right?
Mm.
People ask me for, well, what about antivirus? Can I add an antivirus application? Of course you can. But many of the antiviruses doesn't survive the sysprep process. They have an issue with identity, so they can't identify themselves correctly. Or they can break the sysprep process. What about different readers, like Acrobat Reader?
Yeah.
Well, you could add them, but on the other hand, there will be a new version coming out pretty soon, and so there's no point of doing that. So it's better to add that at the deployment time, because if you...
So I shouldn't just throw all my apps into the image?
No. The ones that survive sysprep, that takes time, that everybody needs, that is easy to maintain. So these are the applications we have. Maybe developers application, like Visual Studio, works perfectly fine. So you need to think.
Yeah, I tend to, if everyone's getting it, I'm happy with it going in the image. But you kind of get you say, do I put everything in the image? I can just put everything in. Everyone has the same. I can get it in there. It's easy. But then the image becomes really hard to maintain. Yep. It's hard to update and so on.
And you still need to manage the application. So how will you do that after they've been deployed? Well, I can't do that. Well, in that case...
So when you think of your reference image, it is part of an overall deployment.
Yes.
You deploy your reference image. You inject the drivers. You put some extra patches in at deploy time.
Yep.
You put in apps as well. So... Yep. The reference image isn't the be-all and end-all. You do need to think of it as part of an overall process.
Exactly.
My motto is don't make it too complicated either. So put in what you need. Don't make it complicated. You don't need to over-engineer your image.
Exactly. It's better to have an automated process that works, but it's not perfect.
Yep.
That's fine. It's version number one and version number two and version number three. The more you learn, the better it gets, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So then we add the operating system. In this case, I'm adding the default Windows image for Windows 8.1, 64-bit, and this is the enterprise. So that's pretty easy. We don't have any drivers in this case. I could add packages. So we could all add all the packages.
All the updates you want there.
Yeah, but I think it's easier to say, well, go to that WSL server and install all the patches.
With your already approved patches on it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So it's easier to pick the patches from there.
And it's good to get them all, because when you're deploying, a long part of that process is the patches.
Yeah, it is.
I know, I remember deploying XP days, it could take an hour to install all the patches from a fresh XP machine as it builds up until a service pack, Then you have a service pack and it gets clean again. But it is going to be a while. Patches build up. Put them in the image when you create the image.
And depending on where you are located on this planet, you might have a really nice internet connection or you might have a really bad one.
Hey, I'm here in Redmond. It's great.
and watching patches being installed is not really classified as funny, so let's don't do that. So that's the image that is imported. We don't need to do much here. We don't need to modify anything in the advanced configuration. But let's open the task sequence. So here we have the task sequence. And in the task sequence, it's going to initialize, validate. It's not going to do a state capture, even if it has a section called state capture. So sometimes people ask me, should I modify anything in the task sequence?
Or should I just delete that? I'm not going to use it. Delete it.
Exactly.
But
it will be faster if I delete it. No, it's not going to run because everything is based on rules.
Hmm.
So you normally don't need to modify anything at all. The part that you modify is actually after state restore when you do
that's
a
the only
reference.
Thing we really care about at this stage is state restore.
State restore, after state restore is running, then Windows is running.
Yes.
So now we could add applications. And you can see I actually added something that is not by default here. It is a group called Custom Tasks Pre-Windows Update. And the other one is renamed because it's normally named Custom Tasks.
Yes.
This one is named Post-Windows Update. So before Windows Update, I want to do this.
Yes.
And then we run Windows Update, install the application. And after that, I do the following things.
So you put, what do you put before?
Maybe we want to have a new version of the IE.
Yep.
Instead of first patching the old version and then install the new one, it kind of makes sense to install the new one first and patch
save
that.
Some time.
Yeah, pretty much time, actually.
Yep.
And in the post-Windows update, could be a suspend step.
Yep.
Because everything is done, all the application is installed, but I need to modify something. And I couldn't figure out how to do it automated.
Yeah.
So I'm going to need to do it manually. I put in a suspend step there. So we have these two folders. So you need to create that one and you need to rename that one to get it exactly the same. So I want to add the application. So I can go to my custom task and I can go to install applications and then I can install a single application and point to that application. That's one way of doing it.
Yeah.
The other way is to actually have it as a default, which says install applications, and then in the wizard I can pick and choose. Another way to do this is this. I can go into the application, I can create a new application, which is an application bundle. And I can say all apps. And then I, in this bundle, which is actually a collection of all the application, I can go into dependencies as an add, and then I can add them all, except for the bundle.
So everyone has their favorite ways. My favorite way is doing it in the task sequence. The reason I like that is because I can just open up that task sequence and I can see exactly what's happening. And there may be an app that requires a restart. You showed us you could tick the restart for an app. I don't like doing that. That's just me personally. MDT lets you do things your way. I will put the app and then I'll throw a restart in there so I know what's happening. I'm a bit of a control freak.
Yeah, so instead of doing that, you could do this. And that's actually a point. So let's add the application.
Yep.
Install application, install single application. And then I pick the office. I want to do office first. And then maybe you...
So
we know what it is. And after that, maybe you want to throw in a special PowerShell script to fix something.
Yeah.
Or you want to do a restart of the computer. So it's true. When you do it in the task sequence, it's going to be visible. You can see, it's doing that. And that failed the last time. So I'm going to shift position with this. Bundle is nice. But this gives you more control.
And often when you're building an image, something will fail and it may be about the order. Or you install one app and then you go to install the next one and it fails. So I often will just, the first thing I tend to do is just throw a restart in between the two apps.
Yeah, exactly.
And usually restarts fix everything. We know that's the way it works. So.
Yeah, that's kind of true. The other thing is that you might want to add .NET framework, which we strongly recommend for at least for client machines. So you go to roles, install roles and features, and then it's very important that you pick the right operating system here.
Yes.
And then you can select the .NET framework 3.5. But there could be other things. Maybe our technicians really need to have...
Telnet client.
The Telnet client. Maybe we really want to have something. But it also could be that instead of adding things, we could, remove things, because that's also possible. So that is installing roles, but I don't know, uninstall roles and features. For some reason, we don't want people to have that application. Why? Because they click it, they have no idea what it is, and that gives us support calls.
Yeah.
So we could add roles and features and we could remove roles and features.
How often do you do that? I know with me, I tend to just leave everything mostly by default. I leave things as default as much as possible. But there are cases, of course.
Yeah, there are cases. And depends what the machine is supposed to use for. If this machine is to be used as a normal desktop for normal people, then I leave it as much as I can and educate people instead. Mm. However, if this is supposed to be a machine that does something, it should have a red button and a blue button, and you're supposed to click on it. It's more or less a machine. Well, then we can remove all the things that it's not supposed to be there. Could be machines that is used in public scenarios or public areas.
Yeah.
Kiosk machines, things like that.
Do you put that into the image? Or the motto I have is, if it has to go in the image, I'll put it there. But if I can do it via group policy or some other method, try and keep it out of the image, because think the image is something more permanent. If you've got a flexible way of doing it later on, then do it that way. It certainly will make your life a lot easier.
So it's very rare that I do it, but it happens. Last week, I had a customer that really need to have one very strange application into the image. It's like, we never do this, but there are no other options. Let's put it in the reference image. So it happens, but you can do this.
Yeah, there's no super hard and fast rules, is there?
You have a principle. Try to follow this basic guidelines, but it's always going to be, it didn't work this time, so we need to tweak it.
Yeah.
And install, let's change the name of that, right, to something like...
See, we're doing it now, even in the demo, we're going to keep this, we keep that naming convention. If you don't keep it here, and you get, you know, it's only a 30 seconds per thing. Then you can read, even right from the start, get that discipline.
Yes. So it's important. Even if, I missed something. Should be attached between
install, install dash. You are a perfectionist here.
Yeah, I know. I hate myself for that. So you add all the application, nothing fancy. We enable Windows Update. And to make Windows Update work, you should define which Windows Update server it should go to. Otherwise, it's going to go to the internet and download a lot of patches, and you can't control that. So it's better to point to a WSL server. So we add all these applications, and when we are done, we could modify the unattended XML file. Now, there's only a few times you really need to do this, and you should avoid it. The only thing we actually found to edit for one customer is the disabled dev tools. Yeah, for IE.
Yeah.
That's one of the few things we still disable. That's a button, the F12 button that enables the IE.
Developer tools.
For IE. And some users have a hard time understanding what's happening. So that's going to give you support issues.
Yeah. But I know personally, most of the things that you want to do in the unattended XML, maybe setting location settings, all those kind of things, can all be done in the .ini file, which we'll show you shortly. Yep. So try to avoid unattended XML. There generally isn't a neat reason to do it. I know you can do almost everything in there, but try and avoid it because it makes things difficult. It's much easier when you have the custom settings.ini file to look in there and see the changes than to navigate through a big unattended XML and try and read it. So
one thing with application is the office. I mean, it needs to be modified slightly.
Yep.
So I'm going to open Office, and you can see there's an Office tab called Office Products. It's because MDT recognizes Office.
So it detects that Office is there. Yeah,
very nice. So you click Office, the Office tab, and then you have the Office customization tool. And it says, well, when done modifying your MSP file, you need to save it in the correct folder, and that's going to be the updates folder. So you open that up, and you can go through the settings. There's not much settings that you need to do, but there are some. And let's open the correct file. It's going to be on
find your deployment share.
Not that one, but on the other one, the build lab applications. Should be in the office, and I need updates to find the update folder, and there you go. And you can see I named it a bit odd. It's a 0_office, blah, 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 blah. And people go like, why do you name it 0 in the beginning? Well, that means it's going to end up at the top
of the list of MSP files.
Which also means it's going to be the first one installed, because if you add other patches, this configuration
like
applies
a service
first.
Pack or a patch for Office also goes in that folder.
Correct.
Yes.
So can you just do an _? Well, then it's, you know, 0 is better because it's,
you know, it's always going to be there. Yeah,
exactly. So you can open this up and you can modify certain settings like the install location. In this case, we type in Contoso. How should the licensing go? Should we use the KMS client key? Should we use a product key? We could modify that it should never reboot. And we can modify settings.
Maybe everything installed, for example.
Could be this. Disable the opt-in wizard, which is kind of pointless to run for a user that has been running Office for a couple of years. They really understand this from the beginning. So when you're done, you save the file, and that's it. So that's the Office configuration. And
it's pretty easy there. We make it easier for you in MDT. They do try and do things like the unattended.xml buttons there. The Office tool button is right there for you.
So we cover the applications.
Yep.
We cover the task sequence, the modifications to that. So what's left? Well, we need to update the deployment share so we get a bootable ISO.
Yeah.
And then we need to create a virtual machine, power that up, and select the correct task sequence. Okay. So let's go into the deployment share itself. We need to do nothing at all here. There's no modifications in Windows PE. We don't need to modify the scratch base. We don't need to add or disable any features, and we certainly don't need any drivers.
Yeah.
It's Windows P, it's going to run a virtual machine, it doesn't need anything at all. We could enable monitoring, but enable monitoring for reference images is not really...
But pointless, really,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, kind of.
It's there sitting in your lab, you can just look at them.
Yeah, so, exactly. Yeah. And we don't need to do anything in the general tab.
Yeah.
However, we should fix something in the rules tab. Okay. And there's two things we should fix.
Have a look at this.
Yeah, so let's start with that one, the bootstrap.ini.
Okay, yeah, let's dive in there.
Yeah, the bootstrap.ini is the first file. It's on the ISO images.
Yeah.
So when Windows P boots up, it reads this file, and it tries to figure out where to do...
Where is my share?
Yeah, where am I?
Yeah.
And you can see I have a setting called deploy root, and that points to my server.
Yes.
I also have the domain name and the user ID and the password to log on to that share. Mm. And it's like, oh, that means you have a username and a password.
That looks, sounds like a security
risk. Oh, it's a security risk. Well, that depends on what that account can do. First of all, it doesn't need to be in a domain account. It could be a local account.
Yeah.
For the MDT server. And the only thing it needs is read access from the deployment share, write access to the location where the captured WIM file should be. And if you want to have logging, well, it also needs the permission to write the log files. So no, it's not really a security issue here.
So this is a totally low privilege user account. You don't want to have your domain admin account doing this. There's no reason for it.
No, if you type in administrator here, it's something wrong.
Yes.
Yeah, so don't do that.
I don't want to see administrator anywhere.
We also add the skip BDD welcome equals yes, and BDD is the old name for MDT. Mm. And that's because we don't need to have the wizard up and say, what would you like to do today? Because the answer will be the same. I will deploy.
Create an image.
Yeah. So that's the only thing we want to do here.
So that's pretty much the default. This is going to be the same at every customer you go to. We don't mess with this.
No.
That's always the same.
So the only thing I need to modify here is to make sure that the account name, domain name, and password is correct. And whenever you modify this, you need to update your deployment share so you got a new image. Because this goes into the ISO image and into the WIM file.
Many times I've seen people make a change and then forget to do the update and wonder why the change isn't working.
Correct.
So they're still using their old ISO image, and this can be quite frustrating.
It is. So. And if you look in this, this is the custom settings.ini.
Yeah.
And this is kind of fun because it's just a text file, but it's a magical text file because you can do a lot of things. So if you look in the bottom list here, and I'm going to select all this, you can see they all start with skip. Mm. Everything that starts with skips means skip this page in the wizard. Skip to ask about admin password because we don't care. Skip product key, we don't care. Skip the computer name because it doesn't matter.
We're just going to capture it and just prep it anyway.
Yep. It shouldn't be joined to the domain. Skip that. Skip user data. Skip everything except I need to be able to select the task sequence. So please ask me for the selection, the task sequence. And please show me the capture page so I can see the path of where the WIM file should be located.
Well, why don't you just put that to equal yes and
yes,
run the path?
I could add all these to no and then populate these sections with the default setting for store the file there, do that every time.
So you can completely automate it
yes.
if you want to. I know that the reason I don't skip capture is a lot of the time before I catch the image, I might actually just run through my task sequence a few times and see if it works. Once I'm happy and at the end I test it, that kind of thing, then I'll capture. Because the capture process is quite long. It might take, depending on the size of your image and the speed of your machine, it could easily take 45 minutes to run the capture process itself.
And that's a very sad moment when you spend like 45 minutes and it seems to, I forgot to type in the company name correctly. I need to redo this again. So everything could be automated. Never try to do that as the first step. It's better to break it down and say, well, I'm going to automate this part and this part and this part, and then you put pauses in between. And when everything works perfectly, then you can remove all these steps in between.
Yeah, definitely. We'll have to remember to show how to add the pause.
Yes,
we'll absolutely. Do that in a moment. We won't do it right now because we're showing you the ini file, but we'll show you how to add a pause.
So what we do here is kind of, please do a capture, allow operating system to install, set the local password to password, time zone. We don't need to join a domain, so we join a work group.
Yep.
We also had something strange called hide shell.
Yes.
Yes, it's not strange, but the hide shell does the following. Since we're deploying a reference image for Windows 8.1, that means that the start screen will show up. And the process will be behind that.
So you can't see what's going on.
Exactly.
Now, there's one issue with having hide shell, though.
Mm-hmm.
If you hide the shell,
mm-hmm.
then you can't get into the background. So you can't play with it so much. How do you do that?
It depends.
Because when it suspends, it's going to stop anyway, and you can see it.
I could do Control Alt Delete
yes.
and pick up the task manager, and then I can access the log files and do all that stuff.
Yeah.
To be honest, in the beginning, I actually don't use hide shell.
But once you've got it right, hide the shell.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. And for reference images, especially when I'm playing, I never use it. And the first time I actually use hide shell is when it's a totally automated process.
Yeah.
And I don't want anyone to connect to my virtual machine by mistake and say, hey, here's a Windows 8.1. I can use this to browse the internet. It's perfect. I'm already logged on. Seems that I'm the local admin. And here's a funny dialog box. I'm going to move it away. And I don't want that
to
happen.
Restart.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing we do is the finish action. So when there's... when the machine is done, sysprep captured, it's going to turn itself off,
okay.
which is nice. We have another setting called do not create extra partition. We don't need to have one.
Mm.
We don't need to BitLocker this reference image, so we can turn that off. Here's a setting for the WSUS server that points to mdt01.contoso.com. 85.
So when we run that update set in the task sequence, it's going to say, oh, look, I've got a WSUS server and go there.
And you can also see I have a semicolon in between. It's remarked. So right now it's not in use. So this is a way to, I don't want to remove the line. I just want to remark it because I want to.
This is your comment line,
yes,
essentially.
Yes, it's a comment line.
Yeah.
So for instance, if I want to do this, I can do a Control C and I can just.
I actually have a big custom settings .ini that I use, and I just comment out a bunch of lines.
Yeah.
And then when I'm, because it's hard to remember of those lines, so I just uncomment it when I need it.
If you really need to remember all these things, there's actually a built-in help that provides this information.
With a full list of the...
Yeah, with every setting you have. It's a really good help. I had one customer ask me is it a smart thing to print it? It's not. Don't try to print
it. It's not light reading.
No, it's going to consume a lot of papers in the printer.
Yeah, we're showing you a very limited selection of those settings there. It grows
is.
When you start doing deployment, and there's a lot you can do. You're never going to use all of them,
but
you might use a subset.
Let's say that you really want to know about this join workgroup thing. Control C. I'm going to click on help and search and paste it in and search and voila.
Join so you definitely don't want to print this out.
No. And here is what's called the property definition list. Here is all the properties we could have. So basically, for every idea you have that you think, well, that can't be done, well, it most likely can.
This takes me back all the way to the beginning of our session where we talked about you want to automate things.
Yeah.
And using MDT is a great idea. Almost everyone now uses MDT for this process. They don't go and create their own tools.
No. Nope.
And I know back in the day I created my own tools because MDT didn't exist.
But I did too.
They've thought about all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
When we're building it, I was on the MDT team for a while,
mm-hmm.
and when we were building it, we'd be the first. We'd work with the product groups to build it and put all this stuff in there. If you want to build your own solutions, it's going to be quite hard to get all these settings and work out just how the unattended XML should be formatted, just all the settings you can inject, just how to inject drivers. How to deal with UEFI, all those kind of things, you know. So I generally steer people away from their own solutions. Usually there's some pretty cool solutions out there, but MDD can do a lot. And there's a huge community out there who will help you. You're a member of the community. You're heavily involved. Johan's heavily involved.
And the thing
Michael's
is that
there too.
Even if the feature or function you really want to have doesn't exist from the beginning, MDT allows for extension.
Yes.
So instead of rebuilding and reinventing the wheel, extend the existing
wheel. Somebody's probably done it for you as well. So you can find
most likely
on the forums out there.
So when you're done with everything, you do an update deployment share, which will, of course, to create the WIM file, create the ISO image, and perfectly happy. So how does this look? Well, here's the virtual machine. Yes, and the virtual machine connection has stopped working, so we need to connect it again, obviously. And that works.
Magical.
Yeah, it's magic. We have a media, and I have that.
The ISO, you've built
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
Updated. Yeah.
It is. So if we start that machine, and it starts, and it looks like it's starting.
Yeah, there we go.
It should be starting fine. Let's make it just...
Yeah, there's the...
Something like that.
There.
Yeah.
So remember, virtual machine, virtual machine, virtual machine. We can't say enough how much we think you should do it.
Oh, yeah. Yes. And I also meet customers as well. I already have a machine. Can I just sysprep and capture that? Well, since you can't automate the process, since you can't repeat the process, it's going to be a bad idea from the beginning. So please don't do that. You remember the list I had with the skip wizard things?
Yeah. Okay, so let's have a look
here
at the wizard.
Yeah. So I told it to ask for the task sequence. It's asking for the task sequence.
And you could
have
multiple ones in here, maybe an x86 and an x64 if you've got
Absolutely.
Types of hardware. Yeah.
So that is one selection. Really easy. I'm going to do next. And here comes the next one.
So it's looking very complicated.
It's two questions. They both need to be answered.
Yeah.
It's already pre-defined the path and the file name, and there's normally no reason to change this. And you said, well, maybe I just want to try it out before I do the sysprep and capture.
Yep.
In that case, you would select do not capture.
Yeah. So we can get this fully automated. So if we put the capture the image, it would just go through, build the machine.
Yep.
If we put a suspend, it would stop for a little bit until we do our changes, then carry on. But when I show people this, people have been working on their images for a long time, it goes through, builds, and then does all its things, then syspreps itself, and then drops a copy of WinPE onto the machine, then reboots and captures an image of itself. That, to me, is pretty cool.
And
with no
intervention. And here you can see it's running.
Yep.
So now it's formatting, partitioning, and doing things. Now it's installing Windows, obviously.
Look at that, isn't it amazing?
Yeah, it's really cool. You can see the number of percent is increasing. And after a while, it's going to tell me the time it's going to take to finish this.
This is a pretty boring demo, but that's the point.
Yeah, this is really boring.
It should be boring. Yeah. It shouldn't be that exciting.
No, it's like watching paint dry.
So this is going to carry on. Why don't we just have a quick look at the suspend step that we were talking about before. Let's have a look at that task sequence.
Yeah, flip this over to, that's not the correct machine, but here it is. I need to obviously connect again.
Oh, yep.
And you need to type in this very strange...
Capital
password.
P at.
Yeah, I know.
It's the same password everywhere. Okay.
Let's view that again.
So let's have a look at that task sequence.
Yeah, let's open that. And there's always different ways of doing this. And I like the cheating one. So I'm going to steal the tattoo
this
step.
This is exactly what I do.
Yeah, I copy the tattoo step.
Yeah.
And then we go into the custom tasks. And then I do a paste. So far easy, right?
You're just going to tattoo it twice at the moment. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. So I changed this to suspend.
Okay.
And then here's the hard part. We need to change the name to LTI suspend.
And we're done.
Yeah.
So what this will do now is when you get to this point in the task sequence, it's going to stop.
Yes.
And it will say, we've been suspended. Click the link on the desktop, which is a link for suspend, click that link, and then it will continue. You can restart the machine, you can change the start screen, get it just how you like in the administrator context.
Yep.
That will then be saved when you use the copy profile functionality. Exactly. So this is great. So I think that's us for demos. Anything else you want to demo?
No, I think we are pretty done with all the demos.
Okay.
I think the most important thing here is that you do spend time to create your reference image. It's very important that it's a good image.
Yep. It's about consistency. It's about repeatability. It's knowing you have the image. Once you've got that, once you understand that image engineering doesn't need to be complicated, that you can automate it, you saw us show you some things there, get your .NET app in there. Mm-hmm. Get your Visual Studio C++, maybe Office.
Yep.
You could put Silverlight, those kind of things. But put those basic apps in there and just get started. You may even want to just start by building an image just with the OS. Then you know it's working. And then just add the bits in.
Yep.
Point to your WSUS server to get your patches. And then you know you've got the patches you want. And you're done. So it doesn't need to be difficult. Keep your images minimized. Use MDT, really.
And I haven't done a reference image without MDT for the last... I can't even remember.
BDD before, BDD before it existed. Yeah. So use MDT. Yeah. So that's the end of this module. Guys, go and have a break. Remember to answer your questions in the list. And we'll get back to you in about 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.